From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum postgame. The Knicks get blown out by the Miami Heat down in Miami. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes could be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. It's good Knicks, bad Knicks this week. You've seen a couple of games with the Knicks getting in the blowouts whenever they could. The home game versus the Bulls. Versus bad teams, if you want to put it that way, in that context. So, and guys missing some players. And then go down to Miami and get destroyed once that first wave of the bench of the Knicks came in. Miami was a lot more aggressive. Miami was more assertive in that early second quarter. There's no leadership. But I think there's more deeper than that. It's not just the leadership, but lack thereof. It's more so the culture itself in the franchise. And I think that's what I take away from it here with these two teams, these two franchises. Ever since Pat Riley has left the New York Knicks, one franchise, the state of the franchise has went in one direction and the other pretty much went south and can't get their head out of their own ways. I mean, that's kind of the way I look at Dick versus Heat, the Knicks versus the Heat. It's kind of a – since Pat Riley has left New York, went down to Miami – become an executive for the Miami Heat. They've won three NBA championships, and they continue to put a good product or a somewhat of a decent product on the floor. And it was kind of a shame because a lot of those fans don't even go to the games, and that's a story for another day with the fans, the lack of fan support, where as if the Knicks, they could sell out the Garden any time, any day, any era, and still put up a bad product. And that's just because the fans are so deadly loyal. Where in Miami, they don't even really go to the games unless it's playoff time or you have your lower superstars and they get there, you know, get to the games late. But going back to this is really about a culture thing. This is not just beyond the game between the Knicks and the Heat. It's about culture. It's about the direction, what the emphasis of what that team, that franchise does from the top down with Pat Riley. They could put any player, they pick players from all different teams, undrafted players. And if you notice, they still got Udonis Haslem on the team. And Udonis Haslem is kind of like, he's like the, what's the word I'm looking for? I would call him a journeyman. He was more, because he's been up with the same team for a long time. He's kind of like, he is the culture of what they were since the Lonzo Mourning era teams. And he's there for a reason. It's because a lot of these young guys, like Richardson and Ellington and Tyler Johnson and Gordon Dragic and James Johnson, and then you add in Winslow, you add in those guys coming to the team, he's a point of direction. He's on that roster to say, hey, man, we're going to continue this culture. We're going to build a winning culture. The Knicks don't have – the whole point of what I'm saying when it comes to that – the Knicks don't have that guy. They don't have a guy on the roster as old as Udonis Haslem for the Heat, and they can't go to that guy, and this is how we're going to do things. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, and if we're going to bring on the stakeholders, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, the Knicks get blown out. This is about culture to me. It's pretty much going to be like that with any other team, but when you look at these two teams in particular, and this is probably one of the reasons why I hate the Heat, because Riley brought that tough attitude era immediately to that Heat team when they had Alonzo Mourning and Dan Majerle, Tim Hardaway Jr., P.J. Brown. They continued to play tough-minded basketball, and then it doesn't even matter who comes in and out, who leads the team. They bring in a prize free agents like LeBron James in 2010, and they still got Dwayne Wade on the team. You know, is another guy who's won three championships for that franchise. They have two focal points within the last generation, last 10 years. These younger players could look up to every day in practice, where the Knicks do not have that. And I think that's a huge advantage. And then let's not talk about Mickey Arison and also Pat Riley as well, in which we had him in our grasp in talks with Pat Riley. So let's talk Av, and we get the stakeholders on. The Knicks get blown out. Look okay, look decent versus the Bulls, and then go down to Miami, get into the warm weather, and just get smoked. Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for our New York Knicks on, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, and also Instagram. Avenue, what's up? How you doing, man?
What's going on, Steve? What's going on,
what's
Steve?
Up, man?
How you doing, man? You know what really sucks about this whole, this is what really sucks about the whole situation. We're over here, you know, most of us are stuck up here in the Northeast, battling our fourth Northeaster, you know, probably have to, like, you know, shovel snow like the fourth or fifth time today. Meanwhile, the Knicks, you know, they win two measly games and they got a nice little freaking field trip down to Miami, you know, where they don't have all this Northeaster snow that we have to deal with. You know, that's kind of messed up if you ask me. That's just me personally. That's my, the New York bitterness in me, but that's just me. You know what? I'm not even going to say that, you know, those two victories, you know, over Chicago and Charlotte were fool's gold because, you know, you were dealing with the situation where you were playing against two teams that were, you know, that were coming on us, they were really struggling. They really couldn't find the offensive rhythm, and the Knicks took advantage in those two games. Plus, it was good that they were at home for it. Tonight, you were dealing with a team that was, you know, that's fighting for the playoffs, despite the fact that they didn't have Dwayne Wade, they didn't have Hassan Whiteside. But you're absolutely right. They have guys, they have cornerstones or like foundational pieces like a Udonis Haslam, like a Dwayne Wade, and other guys in within their locker room and in their training room that have been around for so long. They have their old heads, and the Knicks do not have that. The best reference that I have, because I know you were looking for a good reference, but for me, Udonis Haslam is kind of like what Herb Williams was for the Knicks. Even though I know Herb was never, you know, he bounced around, you know, from Indiana and, you know, and other places in Toronto. But the fact is that, you know, Herb Williams has been kind of like loyal to the Knicks. Like, he's ingrained in the Knicks. If you ask him, you know, what's his favorite team that he ever played for, it's probably the Knicks. And that's kind of like the only equivalent that I have for that. The Knicks don't have that. I think the most senior guy on the roster right now is Kristaps Porzingis, if I'm not mistaken. And I mean, you could probably say Tim Hardaway Jr., but he did leave for a year or two to Atlanta. So, I mean, tonight you saw a lot of, you know, really bad basketball on both sides of the ball, you know, by the Knicks. I know this show gets labeled as negative, but let's call it a spade a spade. There was one thing I was just thinking about that as I was watching the first half with my father, was that there was one thing about the triangle offense and that Phil Jackson really, you know, that whole philosophy was supposed to do. And that was supposed to instill some kind of movement without the basketball. And tonight you didn't see none of that. In the first half, you saw, you know, Courtney Lee, you know, continuously, you know, played the traditional spot-up shooter role in the corner. There was no cutting. There was no aggressiveness, you know, trying to create, you know, create passing lanes and creating any kind of disruption for the opposition defense. And tonight, Miami, all they had to do was, you know, just pressure the ball, and they played a very good game. I mean, we all knew that most of Pat Riley's teams are highly defensive. They're very, you know, that's their bread and butter. That's their fundamentals. Even with LeBron, when LeBron was there for those 3-4 years, but that's basically what they are. They're a fundamentally defensively sound basketball team. You know, whether they have the offense or not, but the Knicks just needed just to move the ball a little bit more. You saw a little bit in glimpses in the fourth quarter, but by then it was already too little too late. The Knicks was very stagnant. You heard, if anyone's following me on Twitter, saw that even when the Knicks had the lead, it was very stagnant. There was a lot of isolation. There was, you know, dumping the ball down low and all the shooters, you know, not crashing the boards, not creating any additional spacing, any kind of passing. There was no movement without the basketball, and that's something that they had to remedy. And I know it doesn't matter now because, you know, everyone's under the belief that we're still tanking. Let's get that idea out of our heads now. Let's be realistic. They can't tank. There's too many teams worse than them. But the Knicks can at least show some development and improvement, first by playing Frank Ntilikina and more of their young guys more, I don't know why Neil Keane only played like 11 minutes tonight, but despite the fact that he struggled, you should leave him out there and let him work it out himself. And then on top of that, just the Knicks, you know, learn to move the ball and move without the ball. That, I mean, just player movement and stop being so lackadaisical on both sides of the ball. Miami had their way. Olynyk looked like, you know, like a young Tim Duncan. Even though Olynyk is a decent player, but he looked like a young Tim Duncan who can shoot the three.
All right, that's Av. Let's get to the stakeholders. Let's get to Marlo and then get right down the line. Sound off on this game and just what they saw this past week. Hey, Marlo, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, Steve. Nick Buck, Av. How you guys doing today?
Good, good. How you doing?
I'm okay. I actually saw some of the game today, you know, because previously I just haven't been watching because it's what's the point of watching? You know, you could be a fan, but it's too disgusting. You know, let's just put it like that. And, you know, even now they're just flashing up the bench points. Miami Heat's bench has 62 points to the Knicks 28 points. But we know the roster isn't that good. You know, we have problems with that. We have problems with defense. And, you know, I saw in the second quarter, Beasley got hot and he hit like about three or four shots in a row, which was interesting. And same thing with Nick Baca. I was saying, I'm understanding what Frank Ntilikina's numbers are and why they're going down. It's just, I don't know. You know, what could you actually say about this team that hasn't been said? You know, they're just a classic disappointment. And I'm thinking they're, you know, I believe the coaching staff and the team, it's almost like the expression dead man walking. Everyone knows that this is just a failure. This season's a failure. There's no inspiration out there. There's no willingness to try to play or show anything. We know the direction is going to be different next season. What direction is that going to be? I don't know. And, you know, Steve, I'm kind of glad you brought this up because this is what I've been like hinting at and saying about last week about how the culture is, well, we've been talking about culture of the Knicks organization, how they don't have it. I mean, we are, as they said, a storied franchise, and we don't respect our legends. There's nothing respectable about the Knicks or something that they can say that they can hang your hat on and say the Knicks do this right. You know, let's just look at last year. You know, Melo was our best player for years. He brought people in on the seats. What happened? He was getting booed, and then the president started tearing him up publicly, and nobody said anything about it, and just let him continue on. And then, you know, the image of Charles Oakley, who's a fan favorite, something that we could hold on to and remember when the Knicks were that gritty fighting team in the 90s, someone like Charles Oakley is getting, you know, the embarrassment of having him being arrested and pushed around by security, you know, all in Madison Square Garden. It's an embarrassment, guys. You know, this is the problem. And any coach that they try to bring in or any GM, I know they got Perry and Perry has work to do, but for them to try to win these fans back, can't even say the fans because most fans are still drinking that Kool-Aid, watching this crap show that's being put out all the time. But I mean, nothing is really going to change because the culture is just so bad, and nothing has been done really to try to remedy that. And you know, also you brought up good points about the Miami Heat. You know, Miami Heat don't have much, but they're always competitive. They're always fighting because they have a good guy on the top. It's like Spoelstra and Riley are on the same page. Spoelstra kind of knows what he needs for his roster, and Riley does what he can do with these parts, and he tries to see what he can get. And they usually have a good fighting formula of what they're doing. And, you know, as much as I'm a New York fan, and I hate to give a Boston team credit, I watched the Celtics last night. Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge, what a combo they have. That's a gritty, young, defensive team who doesn't give up. That's what we want for our Knicks. But again, we have all these guards, all these forwards. Joakim Noah is still on the bench, is still here. He's paying to stay home. You know, there's no absolute resolution to anything that's going on with the Knicks. The players are spinning in the wind. The coaching staff is spinning in the wind. And we are, as fans, are spinning in the wind. You know, they keep promising us this. And you know, when and you know, this is why I got so fed up. Because I was like, when is our loyalty going to pay off? When are they going to actually take us seriously as opposed to taking advantage of us and our dollars and our viewership? And it hasn't been done yet because they know they're going to get our dollars and our viewership. It's really sad. And again, Steve, I just think you brought up really good points about how Haslam's been on there, and he's somebody that they can look at who's a warrior and who's a lifer, someone that they take care of. Yeah, it was a debacle with D-Wade, but look what happened. They took D-Wade right back. You know, you're not going to get that in the Knicks. And it's really sad, and it's unfortunate. But, you know, like I'm saying, the Knicks are going to nick, unfortunately.
You know what? Good point about what you said, and we'll go to the next day holder. But good point what you said, Marlo, because I saw that game last night with the Thunder versus the Celtics, and the Thunder pretty much had that game won. And the Celtics, as much as a lot of those guys are hurt or banged up and injured, the Celtics stole that game. If anybody saw that game last night,
they
stole that game. They fought. They milked out possessions, fouled. It took a couple of missed free throws by Carmelo Anthony. And they made a go-ahead three with about 1 second left. They stole that game, and it was all about fight. They didn't give up. And it goes. You're right. It's that general manager-coach combo that you said, that I said, and then having those type of players on your bench. You know they don't need to be playing, but they use the roster spot because they know that's a bridge piece to what winning basketball was when that player was around, talking about Udonis Haslam, and then where they're trying to go. Let's get to the other stakeholders. Let's get to Chandler, and then get to Dominic, but let's go to Chandler first. Chandler, what's going on? How you doing?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. You know, what's funny, when I was talking about the old head, the guy that was supposed to do that for us is sitting at home getting paid to not be there because the coach is an asshole. It is what it is, and you know, I'm going to kind of continue this particular drumbeat because we can talk all we want about the players and the players and the players, but the fact of the matter is that you got a coach who is still trying to coach for his job. There is no reason on earth that Troy Williams, who's been playing relatively well, okay, only got 10 minutes tonight. There's no reason on earth that Frank didn't, that played 8 minutes and then basically got buried until the fourth quarter. Enes Kanter come out in the paper talking about, I ain't trying to develop nobody, I need my time. Okay, he had 23-13. How'd that translate to winning? Those are empty calories. And you guys brought it up. You brought up the organizations. And I've been saying Brad Stevens for the longest because of the fact that, say what you want, but that dude has done a lot in Boston with players of the past 4 years. How many good players have they had in Boston? They had Isaiah Thomas, and now they got Kyrie Irving. Outside of that, who the hell would you want off that team? Well, this year's team is pretty decent, but before that, who would you want? The Kelly Olynyk that was in Miami tonight? They keep telling us we're trying to build a culture. Okay. Here's a thought. Maybe tell the coach that he's not coming back and say, play the young players. Or tell the coach, you're coming back, play the young players. Because either way, he needs to know what his future is so that he can do what he needs to do for the best, for the benefit of the organization. You know, Brett Brown in Philly lost a lot of games playing guys that, not for nothing, may have been good, may not have been good. You know, the TJ McConnells of the world, the Robert Covingtons of the world,
but he knew that was what the organization wanted, so he wasn't worried about job security, so he played the young guys so they could develop actual NBA players. You keep talking about development. You can't develop if the coach feels he's coaching for his job. So all of the people that want to see glass half full, oh, Scott Perry's here and this, that, and third, I see same old Knicks, because once again, you have a coach doing something different than what the organization says they want to do, because Enes Kanter should not have gotten 31 minutes tonight. Michael Beasley damn sure shouldn't have got 30 minutes. But, yeah, we're trying to develop players. This is still on the management side. You can blame the players all you want, but when the coach is doing one thing and management's saying something else and you got guys being sent home and the coach is in the paper talking about, oh, guys ain't trying hard, but I'm not going to name names, this is what we get. There is no reason on earth that Frank should have gotten buried. There's no reason on earth that Troy Williams, who's been playing well, only got 10 minutes tonight and Enes Kanter got 31. We know what Enes Kanter is. We have no idea what Troy Williams is. But, you know, y'all keep going on with the glass half full because I'm not seeing it.
All right, that's Chandler. Let's get to Dom and then go right back around. Dominic, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
It's nothing much, man.
Steve, you know what, Steve? When you started talking in the beginning, it just took me back to what we've been saying for so long. You happened to bring up a great comparison, the Heat. They stood fast. But again, they mix the youth with some vets. They keep the people in their organization. We've never done that. We've never done that. Look at the Knicks. Look at some of the guys the Knicks brought back to, like, represent the Knicks. John Starks, great guy. Was he a Knick legend? I don't think so. Larry Johnson, great guy. Is he a Knick legend? I don't think so. Patrick Ewing, is he a Knick legend? Yeah. Always been the outsider looking in. You brought up another great one. Haslam, Mornin', now bringing back Wade. These guys are going to have spots with the Heat till death do them part. We don't do that. We've never done that. And here we are. You know, I was just listening and taking some sort, like what Av said, with culture. We've been talking about culture forever. But when we got Phil Jackson, that was his key word. Remember? Build a culture. Bill, he put us 5 years behind. And we still don't have a culture. And now we're going to sit here again, and no knock on Chandler. We're gonna say the coach. Four coaches, 5 years. Okay, fire Hornacek. Where do we go from here? Hire Mark Jackson in 18 months. We'll be saying he got to go. This is like that old saying, the wheels on the bus go round and round. The only thing for the Knicks is the bus never stops to let anybody on. It's becoming really, really sad. We can't even say sad to watch no more, guys. It's beyond that. I'll tell you what. We know what I've been thinking about most of the season. I kept looking at the Heat and the Pacers. And I'm thinking to myself, from the beginning of the year, roster versus roster. If you tell me the Heat and the Pacers were that much better than the Knicks, then I'm missing something. I'm missing something. Now, granted, when KP went down, it shifted, and it shifted big time. But I'm talking about the beginning of the year. You look at the Pacers roster and the Heat roster, and you tell me, go back to October, if we would have thought they were going to be this high up on the food chain to make the playoffs. I wouldn't have. I'm just going to be honest. I wouldn't have thought that. But here we go again. You know, and now we're at that point of play the young guys. Play the young guys. Oh, where are they going to be next year? Are they going to be a Knick? Are they going to be in the NBA? Say what you want about Kanter, but he made one of the best quotes I heard. The NBA ain't for developing players. That's what the G League is for. When you put on an NBA uniform, you need to man up. You're in the big leagues now. We're seeing it with the Yankees. We got guys that came fresh out the minor leagues, competitive, pride, wanting to win. You don't see that with the Knicks because they know the wheels on the bus are going to go round and round. Don't tell me these guys haven't watched the Knicks. Whatever they was doing, G League, other team, it's just pathetic. And we're going to sit here now, guys. And I'm not going to beat a dead horse. We're going to sit here now and talk about an 8-9 draft pick. This is going to be our savior again. We forget about the number one picks that have been bust. Do you know there's not been one player since Tim Duncan that was drafted number one that stood on the same team and took that team to a championship? Number one draft pick, Tim Duncan, last one. Somebody look it up. I think I did today. He's the only guy. When you put all your eggs in the draft, guess what? It's a crapshoot. You still, we've been saying, I know I've been saying this for 4 years now, guys. Draft picks are great. But if you ain't going to have that ability to lure quality players to mix with these rookies and these young players, you're just going to keep spinning your wheels. The Heat are another prime example of that. They got Whiteside. They got some young kids. And they mix this together. And they have a sense of pride of what they're doing. It's sickening to watch the Heat outlive the Knicks. When, again, we always go back to the great days. Them days have been long behind us. But guess what, guys? The Heat kept on moving while the Knicks kept on spinning their wheels with coaches, with GMs, with players. Melo, how many players did Melo play with in his time with the Knicks? 85, 86, whatever that number was. Guess what? Haslam was always there. For the short departure, Wade was always there. It's just sad to look at, guys. When you look around the league and you see what the Knicks are doing and you're moving forward, where are they really going, guys? Remember, next year, worst record goes from having a 25% chance of getting the number one seed, number one pick, to 25%. So the tanking is out the window. If you want to keep doing that, then go ahead. Go ahead. It hasn't worked so far for the Knicks because they have no culture. They have no plan. To echo what Marlo always said, what we all always say, no plan, nothing. They just keep on spinning their wheels. And again, fire Hornets Act. I don't care anymore. Fire them. We've done this for 5 years. Unless you're going to try to take the mold from the Celtics, hire you a new young GM. Hire you a coach out of college. Give this guy a guaranteed 5 years to build this shit up. We're going to keep on running in quicksand. And that's it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you heard all the guys' points. You could definitely respond to any of them and any other thoughts you have, and we could go back and forth with all the stakeholders on the line.
Well, see, the problem with this is that you can't argue with anything that was said. Nothing that Marlo or Chandler or Dom said is invalid. It is absolutely 100% valid. But to echo on that same sentiment, the fact is that you look at these other organizations that have built, that have stayed the course, that have done it. They have something that's been consistent with them, and they have a plan. They have some kind of, you know, some kind of direction. While the Knicks, they have a, you know, there's been consistency. Steve Mills has been with the organization since 1999, and it's been since then that the Knicks have been on, you know, on this slippery slope of being bad to mediocre to, you know, somewhat to just above mediocre to just back to mediocre. And the problem doesn't just stand with management. It stands with just the whole organization. The whole organization is messed up. And I know that a lot of fans are out there, you know, they're tweeting and they're retweeting and they're reposting the same old nonsense that the big network always posts, you know, that, you know, we should fire Jeff Hornacek, hire Mark Jackson and draft so-and-so. And then so-and-so says that it's going to be a blessing to be a Nick. Let's be realistic. They're all going to say that. Don't get caught up in the hype. Just like Dom said, we're going to be, there's a very good chance that we'll probably end up with a, you know, with a low 10 pick, 8, 9, 10, 11. That's not saying that we're not going to get any diamonds. I mean, it's possible. But the reality is that this organization is screwed up. And, yes, you want to give Scott Perry the benefit of the doubt. You want to give him, you know, the opportunity, a full offseason with a full draft and a full free agency period for him to develop a team. You know, a lot of fans are believing in the hype of 2022, 2023. I'm looking at this organization as like, all right, well, 2033 is more realistic. And that's not me being negative. It's just that's how long it does take for an organization to develop a core and their foundation, lock up their young talent, because there's a very good chance they're probably end up keeping KP unless someone else lures them with better opportunities. And we have to develop it, but this organization doesn't know how to do it. It hasn't happened. Yeah, we want to play the young guys. I'm upset that they didn't play Frankie Laquita more. Why? Because I thought that the more minutes and more experience he gets, the more he can develop. Because it looks like they're really high on Frank and they want to keep him for now. It's only going to be a matter of time, because how long ago? Look, back in October, November, December, we were calling him the French Prince, and now no one's tweeting that anymore. I find that very interesting. You know, then they got on the Trey Burke thing. Now they're talking about this guy and that guy. I'm glad that they played Dotson a little bit more, but I mean, come on, it's a little bit too little, too late. Hornacek is a big problem with it. But it just like the stakeholders just said, it's management. And Marlo, to answer your question, is like, why do I still watch? Well, because that's just who I am. I'll continue to watch. Is it sad? Is it hard? Absolutely. There are times where I know the Knicks are on, and I'm rather just like, you know what, I'm just going to go out and grab a beer or go on a date or something. But there are times where I'm like itching, and I'm like, I need to know how the Knicks are doing. That's just the diehard fan in me. And that's why you, me, Chandler, Dom, Steve, and all the stakeholders call every week, because we do this therapy session just for them. And Steve, my personal question to you, is this worse than the 17-win season, or is this along those same lines?
It's along the same lines, but it's not worse than 17-win season. It's not worse than that.
All right.
The Knicks had their okay moments this year. Maybe worse in the sense of Kristaps Porzingis having an ACL injury. He's not going to be back for a full year. So you're saying about a good January, February of next year of him coming back. You would hope he finally gets stronger where he needed to get stronger, because I thought he wasn't strong enough anyway to play the post. I want to go. Let me answer this question, or not even answer this question, but this point. Whoever brought up Herb Williams. I would slightly disagree. Before I go back to Herb Williams, it was Dom who made the point about Starks and Larry Johnson. I would think Starks is more of a legend. I think Starks is somewhat of a Knicks legend. But my thing about that is, he's kind of like off. He's not on the bench. When I'm talking about the players that I named, like Udonis Haslem, Dwayne Wade to a degree, or Alonzo Mourning, he's not on the bench, but he's very active, kind of like in that role with Larry Johnson, kind of similar roles with the Knicks, like an ambassador. Starks is more of an ambassador. I kind of look at them as legends, but I'm talking about a guy who was like a Herb Williams, like an assistant coach or an old school player. That is like who was there before, who brought over that winning culture that the Heat does have. I think that goes a long way why he's still on the roster. Like, Udonis Haslem has no business being on an NBA roster, but it's by design. I think that's by Pat Riley being there, because he knows that every day in practice, he's a reminder of what that franchise has been since, 2006 with 3 NBA championships. That goes a long way, man. That definitely does. And I forgot about the Herb Williams point. I think Av, you did bring up that point. And he was kind of like that for a while. Until he got he was doing an interim head coach. He's back as an assistant and an interim head coach. And then kind of been gone away for whatever. The Knicks, I don't know who that player is going to be. And it's like, but to your point, Don, I got to go back. You were right about this. And great point. I ain't even thinking about it like that. Although I do think of Starks as somewhat of a fan legend. He's more of a fan legend, but the actual player legend is the actual player they didn't even give a chance as a coach, which is Patrick Ewing. It is crazy if you look at it from that kind of standpoint. I want to go back to Marlo. Matter of fact, Marlo, do you have any points or questions? Do you want to ask or say anything directly to Chandler, Dominic, myself, or Knickerbocker Avenue on what's your thoughts? Not just this game, but just the last week with the Knicks, just in general. And then we could go, same thing, we go right down the line. We could go to Chandler and then Don. But Marlo, you first.
I do have a question, but before I ask that, you know, I just realized as much as you're talking about Pat Riley, remember, we could have had Pat Riley because when he was the coach, that's what he wanted to do. But nope, not the Knicks. He's another person that slipped through our fingers. Just think about it. I mean, I know it was years afterwards when Pat Riley left us and you know, and to the thing with Miami. But, see, that's part of what you're saying. If you would have stuck with a Riley who's a winner and who had some winning going on there, who knows, or maybe try to kick the tires and try to see if he was interested. Maybe, guys, I don't know. Maybe we could be like something like the Miami Heat. But, you know, I digress on that because, again, the Knicks are the number one organization for missed opportunities, I believe. We have the nucleus, we have the settings, we have so much in our hands, and for whatever reason, the big little troll that's up there doesn't need to acquiesce, doesn't mind his business, wants this complete totality, even though he always claims up and down here, he knows nothing about basketball, and doesn't let basketball people make the basketball decisions. But guys, remember, we could have had the Pat Riley thing. And now it's working in Miami. Every time you leave the Knicks, it works. Oh, man, you can't make this up. But now my question to all you guys, I don't believe that Dom was on last week or Chandler questioned this. And, guys, this question I'm asking for, I have a reason behind it, which I'll explain later. But we as Knicks fans, I have to ask again, what is it that you would do to convince somebody to be a fan of this organization? What would you say to sell somebody the Knicks? Say like it's a friend or someone come from out of state or whatever, besides saying that they're in New York. But what could you do to say you root for the Knicks or be a fan of this team? And the reason why I'm asking this question before you guys answer is because I can't come up with anything. If someone comes up to me right now and says, you're a Knicks fan, I was like, yeah. He says, you know, should I follow them? I'm like, no. Why should you? You know, I'll be honest. All my Knicks fandom in my heart, I'll tell them there's no reason to follow this team. For what? But the reason, again, why I'm asking this is because when you look at basketball. Basketball is fraternity, okay? And what is it that we're saying that we need to do? We need culture. We need a mix of veterans. We need to attract players. And we have youth. And we need to establish some youth. You're not attracting players because if all of us are sitting there in a room and you can't think of any reason to come, just look at the things that's been happening with the Knicks. You don't think these other NBA players don't see what's happening with the Knicks? And how much we've been a laughing stock, and how much they ostracize Patrick Ewing for no reason. They never give him a chance. They never give him a call. I mean, what happened with Charles Oakley, and then that shameful display bringing Sprewell and them to sit there with them. I mean, Allen Houston is still here, but I mean, look at what's going on to your past players. If I would, and again, you know, with the Melo thing that happened last season, I'm like, what can I say that says at least the Knicks will take care of me? Will all the abuse I take in the New York media, which is brutal by itself, the picky fans in the Garden who cheer you 1 minute and start booing you the next minute, I mean. If you're a player, why would you want to take that responsibility unless you get traded? Unless you get traded to something different. But as much as I see the difficulties of trying to sell this organization amongst us, amongst fans, amongst people, how do you think these NBA players are going? And they know more than we do. They know that Mills doesn't know what he's doing, and he speaks for Dolan, which means Dolan is still interfering. They know Rambis is still there, and I keep bringing this up again. Joakim Noah, make a decision. If you don't want him to play, get rid of him. Don't keep him just sitting there and twisting in the wind. They could have just let him go, and he could have signed with another team. I know you don't want to give up that money, but what good is this money doing? And, you know, that's what kills me, too, when people talk about the money with the Knicks and saying they have all this cap space, so they don't want to ruin cap space. Cap space is nothing, and you're not going to get anybody here. And even if you do get somebody here, they've showed no cohesion in their players. There's no complementary players to what KP can do. KP needs a good playmaking, penetrating guard, at least, and he needs like a strong four, strong defending four or center, who can rebound and be like a bully down there while KP does his finesse things. Now, I'm just a fan, and I'm just telling you just a few points that he needs. But the Knicks organizations are inept of recognizing that. And again, you know, when you go back to the Celtics, they know how to develop their players. Look at Terry Rozier and some of these are Jason Tatum. So again, what is the selling point that you would have to another fan to say, this is the organization, someone brand new to basketball? What would you say to get them there? Because I'm saying the way I'm seeing it, these NBA players are not touching the Knicks with a 10-foot pole unless they get traded or unless the Knicks play an obscene amount of money. Oh, and by the way, the quick caveat of KP, and again, I always go back to Dom and Chandler because they always tell me be careful with KP, and I hope he gets this injury bug out of his system the older he gets. And I said this before, and I'll say this again, guys. Don't be surprised. KP is a different cat. If the Knicks don't get their act together, KP is gone. I'm telling you, he's going to leave. Then you really have nothing. So, again, guys, what is your opinion? What would you say to try to convince somebody to be a Knicks fan?
All right, let's go to Chandler with that question on Marlo's question.
Well, for me, being as I'm old and crotchety, and some of my favorite Knicks teams are some of the worst ones, honestly, I would point to that. I would point to the effort and the grittiness of this team and the fact that, listen, you won't be a fan. You got to be a fan of a team that's bad, because that's how you become a real fan. You know, and you know what? For me, it's the Louis Orrs and the Sugar Rays and the Glenn Gondrzicks and the Toby Knights, you know, and the Marvin Websters, you know, and the Eddie Lee Wilkins, you know, and the Kenny the Animal Bannisters and the Anthony Masons, the John Starks. This team has some history. This team has a fabric. The fans of this organization are what truly make this team. So to be part of that fraternity is not a small thing. So for me, that's what I'm talking about when I talk about being a Knicks fan. You know, it's I could point out all the negative things, but I look at all the, listen, man, like I told you all before, I was out at sea for 6 months on a small boy, which is anything smaller than a carrier is a small boy. And I was only New Yorker on that damn ship when Pat missed that finger roll. And I had to live with that for 6 months, okay? And I walked around with my head up for 6 months. I'm like, yeah, I'm a Knicks fan. Yeah, he missed the finger roll. So what? When I had the captain of the ship giving me shit in the passageways, all right? So for me, that's my selling point for Knicks fan, because you can do that. You can be a Knicks fan. If you can't do that, you can't be a Knicks fan. You know, that's what it is for me. You know, and that's what I would say to somebody. You want to prove you're a real sports fan, you got to be a Knicks fan. Because in order to be a Knicks fan, you got to love this. You got to bleed this. Otherwise, you can't come. You know, and I forget who said it was a 17-win season worse than this or not. I'm going to say this season is worse than the 17-win season. Because in the 17-win season, we had Quincy Acey, Aldrick Cole, Lou Amundson, Carmelo, Jose Calderon, Cle'Anthony Early, Langston Galloway, Timmy, Shane Larkin, Ricky Lito, Alexi Zved, Jason Smith, Lance Thomas, and Travis Ware. We should have lost 17 games with that roster. This roster shouldn't be losing the games it's losing. So to me, this season is far worse than the 17-win season, because this roster is far and away better than that roster. And again, it comes back to management. And it doesn't matter if they fire the coach or not. Give the coach clarity. If Jeff Hornacek is going to be here, tell him he's going to be here. Then he'll stop coaching like a dumbass. If he's not going to be here, tell him he's not going to be here so he can stop coaching like a dumbass. You have to give the coach clarity. That's why I don't believe Scott Perry is in charge. Because if Scott Perry was truly in charge, Jeff Hornacek would know his status. He wouldn't keep making these quotes in the paper talking about, well, we got to talk after the season. We've all seen coaches that were dead men walking, knew they were dead men walking, and we've seen the quotes that they made. They were very different than the quotes that Jeff Hornacek is making. And the moves and the things that they did with the roster and the players and time and all those things were different than what Hornacek is doing. If management cannot get off their ass to tell this man one way or the other whether he's coming or going, then it doesn't matter who the coach is. So I don't believe it's Scott Perry. I'm not giving Scott Perry any, well, I got to give him a whole offseason. No, I don't. All I have to do is watch how he's treating the head coach right now. That's all I have to watch is his actions right now. And his actions right now tell me he ain't in charge of nothing. His actions tell me that Steve Mills is still calling the shots because this is same old Knicks. This is same old Knicks. Leave players twisting in the wind. Disrespect veteran players that are respected throughout the league as they're doing with Joakim Noah. We can all say we didn't want Joakim Noah. We can all say Joakim Noah was brittle. They gave him too much money. Blop-de-blop-de-blop. That young man had respect throughout this league for how he played, how he conducted himself. And the New York Knicks turned him into a punchline. They turned him into a punchline. Wow, they did the same thing with Carmelo Anthony. They've done that same thing with a lot of players. Same old Knicks. But Marlo, for your question, like I said, I'm going to bring up the history of this team. I'm going to bring up the grittiness of this team. I'm going to bring up the fans. And I'm going to say, if you want to be a Knicks fan, this is what you got to be willing to do. And if you want to join us, welcome. If not, go the hell away.
All right, let's go to Dom. Same question from Marlo as well. And then we go to Av.
I'm going to go with part of Chandler's answer. I'm older. So you know what I'm going to tell him on? Misery loves company. I've suffered for long enough. Come on and suffer with me. Because that's what you're going to do. You know, do you know, guys, that there's no team in the NBA since the year 2003 that has more losses than the Knicks? We're talking Sacramento, Minnesota, Phoenix. We're talking the Sixers. Nobody has more losses than the New York Knicks in a 15-year period. Let that marinate for a minute. And to what Chandler was saying, y'all know I retired from the military. I've been many places too. But the funny thing is, and it happened this week, my wife gets embarrassed when I wear my Knick hat. Oh, you're going to catch hell. And 90% of the time I do. Oh, man, you're a Knick fan. Let me put my Yankee hat on. The debate starts to link. What are the Yankees going to do this year? Or I hate the Yankees because they won and blah, 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 blah. There's always a different scenario when it comes to the Knicks and the Yankees. Now, granted, guys, I'm a little biased because I'm more of a Yankee fan than I am a Knicks fan. But just that simple fact of wearing a hat, both New York teams, and the reaction you get, I wouldn't know how to sell anybody on how to be a Knicks fan. I'm like Marlon. I couldn't do it unless I go with my theory that I'm getting older. I want somebody to suffer like I did. I can't sell them on the history no more. I understand where Chandler's coming from. But besides me and Chandler and some of you guys that know the history of the Knicks, you're talking about selling somebody younger than us. Our history was 1999. You know what? Some of these kids you're trying to sell wasn't even born then. They don't know nothing. We know how people are with the history of the NBA, unless they're real NBA fans. They don't know that. They don't care. What have you done the last 15 years? Well, we had the worst record in basketball, most losses. How do you sell somebody on that? Guys, it's hard for us to sell each other. We love the Knicks. We are Knicks fans. But there's just so much confusion. You know what, guys? I think about this all the time when y'all call, when I call. We go through this every year. Every year we do the same thing. Every year, and you know what? We don't never come into the season with the glass half empty. We may switch the glass, make it a little smaller during the year, but we always try to come in with a positive approach. I'll bite the bullet this year. I thought they was going to be much better than they were. They started out good, then January came. And here we go again. So it's just, we can't even go back to the stuff that, like a me and Chandler could talk about, because nobody's buying that no more, guys. We live in a what have you done for me now society. We can't go back 3 years. We go back 3-4 years, we tell them, oh, shit, we lost the most games in our organization's history. That was only a few years ago, guys. 65 losses. What was that, 3 years ago, 4 years ago? I thought with the Knicks getting on a winning streak, we would break the 50-loss season, but that might not happen. It's going to be another 50-loss season. And I'm going to sell somebody on this that, oh, man, you know, Patrick Ewing. Who the hell is Patrick Ewing? John Starks. Who the hell is John Starks? No. And you know what? Maybe I'm getting older and I developed a heart for some things. But if I was Hornacek, I would have quit. I'd have resigned. Because when you talk about play this guy, play that guy, why does he do this? Just look at one position. The Knicks have had 4 to 5 point guards in one season. You're talking about cohesion. Basketball is a cohesion sport. It's not like baseball where maybe other than the infield, learning how to turn the double play. Basketball is the ultimate cohesion sport. That, hockey, football. But basketball, there's five guys you're playing against. You got to have cohesion. And the Knicks don't have them. This year is a prime example of that. The point guard is the most important position on the court. I hope we all agree with that. And we've had 4 different point guards trying to mix and match, start them. It's a laugh. It's a joke, guys. Seriously, it's a joke. And to go back to what Marlo said and what me and Chandler keep saying about KP, we've been asking this question for about a year and a half, 2 years. Is he the guy we move forward with the injuries, with the what are we going to put around him? Who are we going to bring in to play with him? Not to mention, little birdies going off in his head saying, you know what, this might not be for me. He probably knows the history. Well, I'll tell you what, he knows the last 3 year history. 85 different players. You bring in a Joakim Noah for $1 zillion. He don't play. He's not the Noah he was. Now I've played with about 7 different point guards, 2 or 3 different centers. How do you even sell him on this, let alone selling a fan or selling a free agent? It looks really, I hate to say gloomy, guys. I was shooting for 2028, but Knickerbocker Ave might be right. And think, guys, 2028 is 10 years from now. Some of these guys might not even be in the NBA by then. But at least we'll get a fresh start. Some of the stars will be gone. They'll be senior citizens. But really close future, it's rough, guys, because we're going to go into the draft again this year. We're going to pick another player. Who's it going to be? Please let them rumors be wrong, and I don't care what Trae Young says about he'd love to play for the Knicks. No, please. This is a guy that said the defense started playing him harder midway through a college season. No, then we'll have, what, 5 point guards? No, come on. It's going to take a while, guys. It's going to take a while, and we'll still be doing this. You know, we'll still be talking about the same thing. We'll have a new coach, have a new draft pick, have about 2 or 3 different point guards until they learn to stick with something. Like the Celtics, like the Pacers. Look what the Rockets did this year, Scott. Look what the Rockets did this year, guys. I think I brought it up before. I think they have one guy on their team that was an actual draft pick on their team. And they got the most wins in the NBA. It can be done. You got to have vision. You got to have a plan. You got to be innovative. These are the things that have went right by the Knicks. And again, Phil Jackson put us 5 years behind that because he had no innovation. He had no plan. Everything he touched turned to shit. Let's just be honest. And now take those 5 years to where we are now, how far away are we now? Plus the 5 years, we're talking, you know, 10, 12 years. So we'll hang in there. But I got to admit, Steve, me chiming in with the Giants and the Yankees, that was probably the best part of my week. Because this is just too old. It is. It's just too old, guys.
All right. We're going to thank you very much, Don. Let's squeeze in Dre real quick. Dre, quick question from Marlo. How would you convince another person to become a Knicks fan? And any thoughts on the game or any thoughts on the Knicks this week? Then we'll go back to Av, and then we got to quickly wrap up for some final thoughts. So let's start with Dre. Dre, if you can answer Marlo's question, then we go to Av, and then we go around for final thoughts.
Well, that's a hard question. The only way you can actually be able to do that is sort of like you got to do with some peer pressure and them not actually really getting, like, introduced to other teams. Like, if I try to actually introduce just a regular fan, maybe if I go ahead and show you some, like, history, then, yeah, then I might be able to go again. But in terms of, like, just right now, how Dom said, we live in what you're doing right now, society, I don't know how can you. And, frankly, I'm actually, like, surprised on how some people even became a Knicks fan. I mean, I became a Knicks fan because, I think I just caught it, especially only took one or two players for me to do them, and that was Nate Robinson and Jamal Crawford. And I'm actually just glad I seen some of the, just seen some little success before we got in this little drought. So probably about me being a Knicks fan for about 10 years and trying to get another person a Knicks fan, I just don't see it happening. Not at all. But anyway, let's go for final thoughts.
Av, anything you want to answer that question real quick? And then we go around.
I think between Chandler and Dom, they kind of answered it the best because, I mean, I'm not as old as either one of those gentlemen. However, I've been around for a while, and there is something to be said when you get on the back of the team that's struggling, that is notoriously struggling. That's why, like, right now, for the last couple of years, anybody who was a Clipper fan, you always thought that they were kind of fake, but you have to kind of give them their props now because they were fans. They refused to like the Lakers while the Clippers were so bad during those really bad. I mean, I'm talking about like the Danny Manning years of the LA Clippers to where they finally became Lob City. And now, through the Donald Sterling situation and even to this day when they just traded away Blake Griffin. To be a Knicks fan, you have to have pride not only in your city, but you have to have pride in just the character of just the history from these old heads. And I don't know if I'm going to consider myself in that aspect yet, but I'm still only getting there. That's the only thing I can sell you on, because when the Knicks they pull their head out of their ass and the Knicks finally become competitive and before we die, any one of us die, we actually see the Larry O'Brien trophy raised at Madison Square Garden and the Knicks finally win the NBA championship. That's going to be a party that will never end. That is the greatest party. And you have to start liking them now, not then, because frankly, that's the pure definition of the bandwagon fan. And if you don't know the difference, there's a whole archive that Steve put on BleedBlueShow.com that'll tell you the difference between bandwagon, loyal, diehard, social media fan. You want to be a real fan? First of all, you have to be a Bleed Blue fan, and you got to love the KGYR Nation. Once you get you're ingrained in that, then you have a full understanding of why we do what we do on a week in and week out basis, and why every night. Especially, nights like this, and then, of course, on Friday night when you know the Knicks are going to play or going to be home and play against the Timberwolves, and you know that Karl Anthony Towns is going to have a big game and the Knicks are probably going to lose, but you're still there. That's what you have to – it's not easy, but if you have it in you, if you have the right character and the right heart, that's what a real fan is. It's easy to cheer for LeBron. It's easy to cheer for the Golden State Warriors. It's kind of easy now – still the chair for the San Antonio Spurs and the Boston Celtics and all those main marquee teams of today's era, the Houston Rockets included. but the real character of a human being as a fan stands in your grit, and your ability to to stay loyal, to stay bleeding blue all day every day, and this is why we do what we do. And I can't and just a quick plug, I can't wait till Sunday when we talk about the AL East, because thank God baseball's almost here.
All right, thank you very much. I'm going to reserve my answer for final thoughts. So let's go around. Let's start with Marlo. Marlo, your final thoughts on the Knicks, and we'll go right back down the line. The Knicks lose to the Heat. Good dialogue on the culture. Good dialogue talking sports with our squad and, of course, with the stakeholders. So, Marlo, fire away.
Well, again, just a big shout-out to Blue Blue Show, Steve, Godfather, Nick about the Av, Chandler, Dom, Dre. It's really great talking sports with people who have a know-how and have a history. Because, you know, just hearing Chandler when he was talking about Bannister and Orr and Gerald Wilkins, Eddie Lee Wilkins, and, you know, we just had such a history. And I always keep mentioning how I remember I used to watch the Knicks when they used to come on Channel 9, you know, way back in the days. The Knicks were always on Channel 9. And this was all before the Ewing and the Ewing era and John Starks and all this other stuff, and how electrifying it can be. It's hard to get that out of you. And Knickerbocker, have you had a great answer about how it's easy to cheer for winners? And that's what it is being a Knicks fan. You know, we just have it ingrained in us so much. But as much as it's easier to cheer for winners, you want us to get something right. Because, guys, think about it. You brought up the Indiana Pacers. Remember that 54-win season that seemed like it was 20 years ago? Who did the Knicks face? They faced the Pacers when they lost. The Pacers were still competitive, still making the playoffs, and they just about while decimating their roster, and now they have a new roster, and they're making it to the playoffs again. You know what I'm saying? So during that time period, the Knicks stay going down while other teams were able to get rid of all their stars, all their good players, still stay competitive and still be competitive and still be in contention. Same thing with the Miami Heat during that 54-win season. Again, the Knicks are the only team who doesn't know how to get themselves together, and it's just really sad. But again, the best thing, like I said, I believe about the Knicks is right now is the Bleed Blue Show. And I would love to be on the Yankees and Giants. I used to try to call in for the Giants, but like I said, there's way too many people on there. I don't even remember what to say once it gets to me. There's so many people on the Giants when you guys do the show for that. And, you know, we have at least that to look forward to. But again, big shout out to Bleed Blue Show, all the listeners, everybody who comes and calls and participates. And, you know, it is what it is, guys. I'm sorry. I'm not very optimistic about this team. I'm not sure if it's going to go forward because we haven't gotten anything right. But one thing that is right is the loyalty of the fans and shows like the Bleed Blue Show.
And that is Marlo Drago NYC at Drago NYC. Thank you very much. Absolutely. Any platform, man, anybody could call in and dialogue, man. It's what the stakeholders make of it. Thank you very much, Marlo. Let's go to Chandler. Chandler, your final thoughts, and then we go to Dominic, and then Dre, and then Av.
As always, a lot of fun tonight, fellas. Steve Mills, Scott Perry, James Dolan, I know you listen to this show. If you want to prove to Knicks fans that you're really about changing the direction of this franchise, you go hire Mark Few from Gonzaga, you give him a 5-year contract, and you do not draft Trae Young. That's my final thought.
And that is Night Chandler 7 on Twitter and the Gear Drift podcast on Spreaker. Give Chandler a listen on Spreaker, talking veterans benefits and the keys, his points on getting your life together if you're in that situation, man. Thank you very much from Chandler. Let's go to Dom and then go to Dre. Dom, your final thought.
Well, my final thoughts is Presidential Medal of Freedom, 18-time All-Star, 13-time World Champion, 3-time MVP. And his number is when my season begins. 8 days, Yogi Berra, the Yankees start playing. That's all I could think of right now, guys, because, again, I'm more of a Yankee fan than a Knicks fan. The Knicks got a lot of catching up to do. So every March, April, we're in the same boat with the Knicks. I look forward to the Yankees. So in honor of Yogi Berra, we have 8 more days till opening day. And as always, guys, this is a great platform. Anybody could join who thinks we're not talking out of the clear blue sky, we invite them. And, again, I thank you guys.
Shout-outs to Dominic DiNardo DP on Twitter as well. Matter of fact, this is a quick plug as well for the Giants episode or the NFL episode, if you want to look at it. We definitely would like to hear from the Jets fan as far as their first round move up on number 3. If you guys would like to join that dialogue on the football stuff, that's up to you guys. We'd love to have you on. Thank you very much. And then let's go to Dre, Lil Dre, to the rack on Instagram. Your final thoughts, and then go to Avicor.
Yeah, well, the only thing we're talking about with older Knicks fan history, I don't know, it just fascinates me to no end. But then it also just scratched my head, like, how did it just get to this? Because I'm definitely the youngest one here, about 17, but watched the Knicks for about a good 8, 9, almost pushing a decade. And just seeing the realization, it's just heartbreaking. Especially when I remember how they did Nate Robinson, all cooks and stuff with James Dolan. That hurt it. But I am definitely going to try to get on some of the football casts, and especially with that Giants draft pick. Definitely looking forward to that. And I'm just loving this show. Definitely one thing you can look forward to for the Knicks fan. And that's it, Bleed Blue.
Bleed Blue. You said Giants draft pick as singular. You mean picks, right? You know the Giants do have more than one pick, right?
Oh, yeah. I meant to say picks.
Oh, okay. Just checking because, you know, this is a platform. We do our homework. We don't – the Giants, the NFL draft, Jets, whatever your squad is, the draft, whatever league, it doesn't even, NHL, MLB, the draft does not start and end in the first round. We are not that type of podcast. Hell no. But thanks very much, Dre. We'd love to hear from you on that. Av, your final thoughts, Knickerbocker Avenue, to have your social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and your final thoughts, and anything else you'd like to add, and we'll wrap up.
This was a good show because we touched base exactly on what the Knicks' biggest problems is, and the real fans are never going to get off of it until the changes are made, and that's why we do what we do. We're always here talking about the same things that the Knicks need to address, and this is where the real fans are. Case in point, I listen to other podcasts. Some of them are pretty good. Some of them are just, you know, guys just rambling on and just regurgitating old trade rumors or old, you know, crazy theories that are being sold on the Daily News or on the New York Post or whatever publication they're out there. This is why I do what I do and try to verify everything that I do here. I'm just going to reiterate what it takes to be a real fan. You have to show grit, and it shows your character. And if you think that you can debate us, you can debate me anytime you want. I'm not that hard to find. I don't dodge or duck anyone. But I welcome anybody to come on this show and talk about the Knicks. Talk about the game. Talk about the problems. Talk about the good times, the bad. Because you already know that me, Sim, you know, we hold the trivia title. You ain't gonna get better knowledge and history than you get from Chris, Steve, Dom, or Chandler. And you're not gonna get, you know, more passion than you get from Marlowe's, because the real fans are here on Bleed Blue Show, on the Knickerbocker App Fan Forum, and on the other podcast that we do, The Dugout, The Rink, the big blue roundtable, and then of course the occasional Blues Day. But Steve, I have to ask, who's the next stakeholder spotlight? Because I'm not.
I don't know, Av. I don't know.
Come on, dude. All right. As my final thoughts, stay in Bleed Blue, stay orange and blue, If you're still watching, God bless you. We'll keep on doing these shows as much as possible, as much as people let me do them. And Sangre Azul all day, every day, Bleed Blue, signing off.
That's the infamous Knickerbocker Avenue. To answer Marlo's question what could I do to convince a fan, I'm not going to convince nobody. It's got to be within you. I would rather respect a passionate fan of another fan base if that person happens to live in Dorchester, Massachusetts, and they were a diehard, or I would have called them a diehard, but if you were rooting for all four teams, the Patriots, the Bruins, the Celtics, and the Red Sox, I would rather respect you and hate you at the same time than respect somebody who's partially on the Knick bandwagon when times are great. I just that's just not the fan in me. I just as a sports fan, you gotta be. It's when you became a fan, and it's why you became a fan for me. And usually the when you became a fan, especially when it comes to boys. Now I don't want to sound gender biased or sexist because I'm gonna say it like this. Because usually younger boys are more into the sports than the girls, but the girls have over the years have become a younger fans too. But if you're talking about our age, Knickerbocker Ave, my age, Chandler and Marlo and Dom, usually you're a fan of sports in your early younger years, especially when you're a boy. So I've been with the Knicks for 30 plus years. I'm pretty sure as many other people my age has been with fans of who they are when they became a fan. The whole point of what I'm trying to say is when you became a fan, why you became a fan, and are you still with the team through the good times and the bad times? Because somebody brought up a great point, because I've known the very, 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 very few Clipper fans in this world back in the 90s when it was a joke to be a fan of that team. Even, that's when the Knicks were running things. They just couldn't get past Chicago. And they kind of lucked up, got some draft picks, some new management, ended up with Lob City, and they got had some good times too. Just they haven't gotten to the Western Conference Finals or NBA Championships, but they saw the worst, and they saw pretty much the peak of their franchise. That's about what it's about being a fan. It's sticking through the team, through the good times, and absolutely the bad times, the worst times. And that's the reason why no platform out there on a grassroots level is like the Bleed Blue show. Because if you could be there when the Yankees are winning 100-plus games, we'll be here. We'll be here when the Knicks are winning 17 games, we'll be here. We proved that. That's what we do. We are fans at the end of the day. And I think that was an excellent question from Marlo, because it goes to write down, it's the silver lining of what this platform is all about. It's about the everyday sports fan. And that's what we are going to represent, the everyday sports fan. And myself and Av and Dom and Chandler and Dre, we are everyday sports fans with an opinion, and we're going to put that on the platform so other fans who do listen from afar and can respect what we're going to say, man. And this is why we do what we do, because there's nothing like this. Because we watch the game, we study the players, and that's all that really matters in sports is that. We don't regurgitate other opinions. We have our own, and that's what the Bleed Blue Show is all about. So signing off, Sangre Azul will be back next Wednesday. Check out the schedule tab on BleedBlueShow.com this week. And like Av said, if you're into the baseball, we're looking into the AL East. And I know a lot of Yankee fans who are Knicks fans, you could definitely check in on how we stack up in the division. I'll say we'll do that about noon on Sunday. Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop.